ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲವಾ ಗಿರಿ ವರದಾರಿ. ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ. ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲವ ಗಿರಿ ವರಧಾರಿ ಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧೆ ಜಯ ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ನಿತಾಯ್ 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 ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ನಿತಾಯ್ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ जय जय गुरुदेव 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 कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్భాగవతంకి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమశ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. యు ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 3 చాప్టర్ 16 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 33 అండ్ 34 డోంట్ హ్యావ్ పర్పోర్ట్ So 35 has purport. So I will quickly read the two verses and then we will come to 35. Tau tu girvana rishabhau dustarat dharilokatah hatashriyau brahmashapat abhutam vigatasmayau. But those two gatekeepers, the best of the demigods, their beauty and luster diminished by the curse of the brahmanas. Became morose and fell from Vaikuntha, the abode of the Supreme Lord. Tada Vikuntha Dishanat Tayor Nipatamanayoho Ha Ha Karo Mahanasit Vimanagrayeshu Putrakaha. Then as Jaya and Vijay fell from the Lord's abode, a great roar of disappointment arose from all the demigods who were sitting in their splendid airplanes. Now we come to text number 35. Tave vahyaduna praptau Parshada pravarau harehe Diter jathara nirvishtam Kashyapam tejavulbanam తావే వహ్యధునా ప్రాప్తౌ పార్షద ప్రవరౌ హరేః దితేర్జఠర నిర్విష్టం కాశ్యపం తేజవుల్బణం తావే వహ్యధునా ప్రాప్తౌ పార్షద ప్రవరౌ హరేః దితేర్ జఠర నిర్విష్టం కాశ్యపం తేజ ఉల్బణం తావే వహ్యధునా ప్రాప్తౌ పార్షద ప్రవరౌ హరేః జఠర నిర్విష్టం కశ్యపం తేజ ఉల్బణం అధునా ప్రాప్తం ప్రవరౌ హరేః దితేర్ జఠర నిర్విష్టం కశ్యపం తేజ ఉల్బణం తావే వహ్యధునా ప్రాప్తౌ పార్షద ప్రవరౌ హరేః
Kashyapam.
Vaishnavis.
Tave vayadhuna praptau. Pashada pravarau harehe. Diter jathara nirvishtam. Kashyapam tejavalbanam.
Tau. Those two doorkeepers. Eva. Certainly. He addressed Adhuna. Now. Praptav. Having gotten. Parshada pravarav. Important associates. Harehe. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ditehe. Of Diti. Jathara. Womb. Nirvishtam. Entering. Kashyapam of Kashyapamuni. Tejaha Siman. Ulbanam, very strong. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chil Prabhupada ki. Lord Brahma continued, those two principal doorkeepers of the Personality of Godhead have now entered the womb of Diti, the powerful semen of Kashyapamuni, having covered them. Purport. Here is a clear proof of how a living entity coming originally from the Vaikuntha Loka is encaged in material elements. The living entity takes shelter within the semen of a father, which is injected within the womb of a mother. And with the help of the mother's emulsified ovum, the living entity grows a particular type of body. In this connection, it is to be remembered that the mind of Kashyapa Muni was not in order when he conceived the two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, the semen he discharged was simultaneously extremely powerful and mixed with the quality of anger. It is to be concluded that while conceiving a child, one's mind must be very sober and devotional. For this purpose, the Garbhadhan Sanskar is recommended in the Vedic scriptures. If the mind of the father is not sober, the semen discharged will not be very good. Thus, the living entity wrapped in the matter produced from the father and mother will be demoniac, like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. The conditions of conception are to be carefully studied. This is a very great science. Om ajnanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuh unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupah kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guruh shri yutapadakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sa Advaitam Sa Avadutam Parijana Sakitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namavam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are reading from the chapter Jaya and Vijay, cursed by the sages. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we often find Shukadeva Goswami putting his focus camera on just one or two or three personalities, sometimes for a prolonged period of time. Like here we find it is the entrance to Vaikuntha. Jaya Vijaya are standing. Chatushkumaras have arrived there. And now Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi have come also. And whatever transactions are happening here, and that is going on practically for the whole chapter. And verse after verse after verse, every day morning when you come to Bhagavatam class, this is the scene placed in front of you, isn't it? You may wonder, thik baad mein kya hua? After that, what happened? Okay, they came to door. Some small mistake happened. It is all right. Why do we discuss it so many mornings? But why the Srimad Bhagavatam elaborates on it so much? There is a reason. Because every verse in Bhagavatam has a oceanic meaning. So Srila Prabhupada said that the Srimad Bhagavatam is such a literature, every word is very potent and powerful. And the Sanskrit language itself is such a language that one word has innumerable meanings, many meanings. Plus, when it becomes most confidential knowledge, then the acharyas can explain what is the inner meaning, what is the external meaning, and all these things. So in that way, a great amount of transcendental wisdom can be acquired from just this one particular scene. Like for example, Lord Vishnu was once requested by Lakshmi that this Jaya Vijay, both these fellows, your servants at the door, we should punish them, she said. Why? He asked. She said, because when you were resting, I wanted to come and meet you. But these two fellows stopped me. I am the mother of the universe. I am mother of even those two fellows also. And they are stopping me. How can I tolerate it? So now Lord Vishnu was in a dilemma what to do. In case he immediately gives them some punishment, Lord Vishnu thought people may call him as a henpecked husband. So Lord Vishnu thought. On the other hand, Lord Vishnu also thought that why should I punish them? After all, they did their duty, which I have awarded them. Whoever comes there to the door of Vaikuntha should be stopped. And that's what they did with Lakshmi. Probably they applied it a little blindly. But their application of the stopping is not a mistake. So Lord Vishnu thought, how can I punish them? At the same time, he looked at Lakshmi. She seemed dissatisfied that I am requesting you to make to give them some punishment and you are not giving. So he made up his mind that somehow I will accomplish this at a future time so that Lakshmi will be pleased. So by Lord Vishnu's will, at the entrance to Vaikuntha, this Chatushkumaras arrived and they were stopped by Jaya Vijay and then incited by anger. They pronounced a curse and all this event happened. And immediately Vishnu went there. But of course, he took Lakshmi also with him. Because now he got a chance to scold Jaya Vijay. Because they have had some interaction with somebody else. So Lord Vishnu thought, by speaking like that, he was telling Kumaras that actually Jaya Vijay did not follow my mind. They acted independent of me. So they deserve the punishment. So Lakshmi became very happy also. Because Lakshmi was waiting with that pending punishment. So she was happy that, yes, Lord has taken my word seriously. At the same time, Lord did not punish them for the previous mistake of stopping Lakshmi. But now Lord created a new type of situation where they stopped Chatushkumaras and then Lord should let them go to material world. But then the Lord used the word Swanam. Swanam is my people. So while speaking to Kumaras, when the Lord used the word Swanam, Jaya Vijay were standing, they were looking at each other. Hey, see the words Lord is using. He's saying Swanam means he is calling us as my men. Actually, when the Lord told Kumaras that we have become offensive, the word Swanam is not only Jaya Vijay, but includes all the Vaikuntha Vasis. Because for two people, you have to use the word Svayoho. Svayoho means dual. In Sanskrit, you have singular, dual, and plural. So, Svayo, when you say, my two men, means Svayo, you should say. Svana, when he says, he included all his Vaikunthavasis as my men. Like that he said. In either case, Jayavijay is included. Correct, no? So, Jayavijay were very happy that Lord has included us in the party of his men. So, they became very satisfied also. And the Lord told Kumaras, let them go to material world and come back to me again. So that way Kumaras became happy and Jayavijay became happy. In this way, Lord is very expert in adjusting a situation while fulfilling his own inner desires, like wanting to have a fight with somebody, which cannot happen in Vaikuntha. So the Lord could accomplish it in the material world. So the Lord's activities are all called Adbhuta Karma. Krishnayana Adbhuta Karmanaha. Because why it is Adbhuta Karma? The acharyas whose heart is filled with deep attachment for the Supreme Lord, when they study the scriptures, they can very easily decode why the Lord said something what he said, why the Lord did that something he did, and what did the Lord intend at this point of time, or what must have Lord thought in his mind and what must have the devotees thought in mind. So these things are very far-fetched for us, but the acharyas can read between the lines in line with the Supreme Lord's mind. So they can give us such explanation. So by understanding the Lord's sublime behavior, we can learn varieties of lessons for our life. And you will see, although the scene is the same, the setting is the same, but various new lessons come out every day. When different speakers of Bhagavatam speak, as they go from one verse to another, you will find many new lessons are brought out. Although the scene and setting is the same, because every movement of the Lord is filled with varieties of lessons to be learned. Because he is such an all-perfect personality. How he deals with situation is very amazing. See, in the purport here, Prabhupada is saying that in this connection, it is to be remembered that the mind of Kashyapu Muni was not in order when he conceived the two sons, Hiranyakasharanakashyapu. And then he says, therefore, the semen he discharged was simultaneously extremely powerful and mixed with the quality of anger, he says. And then Prabhupada says, it is to be concluded that while conceiving a child, one's mind must be very sober and devotional, he says. That means, Kashyapa, what was the anger in Kashyapa's mind when he was conceiving the child? You all know that scene when Diti became overwhelmed with the desire to have a child. She presented it to Kashyapa that she is feeling very lusty to enjoy with him. After speaking very sweetly, politely, humbly, respectfully, nicely serving him. And then when he asked Diti, what do you want? She said, I want a child immediately. In the subsequent verse, it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that she was not lusty, she was envious. Envious of whom? Of her co-wives. And then she told Kashyapa, you have given children for my wives, but you did not give me. I will be considered like a barren woman. I have the ability to beget children, but you didn't give me, you have given them. So she was making a comparison and feeling acidity in her heart with her co-wives. She wanted to prove to co-wives that I am also a mother of a child. With that desire, but the way she presented to Kashyapa was that I am feeling very lusty. Because she thought that the man will be more inspired by such a proposal. She didn't say, I am feeling envious. She didn't say. So you will find, at that time, Kashyapa was sitting and offering ahuti in the yajnakund, the yajnak sacrifice. In that he was absorbed in performing Gayatri and offering sacrifice and such kind of very auspicious activities. But here comes Diti with a very impure proposal of uniting in the twilight hour. She is catching his cloth and pulling him, impelling him to succumb to sin. So in this world, this is a practical problem. Because there are three gunas in this world, when people of two different gunas come, there is a collision. There is explosion. Like If somebody is in Sattvaguna and somebody is in Tamoguna and they have to work together to accomplish something, then there will be a problem. The Sattvaguna person will see things in a certain way and the Tamoguna person will see in another way. Because of this, then Sattvaguna person will say, don't you see this, don't you see this? That fellow will say, I don't see that, I don't see that. There will be a problem. Then there is a collision. And that is why in the Vedic times, the Brahmanas were living in a separate area. And the Shudras would live in a separate area. Shudras may spit in different places. They may go to the bathroom and not wash the legs and things like that. But because they were living together in one area, they had no quarrel because it was matching very well. Everybody was matching. Birds of the same feather flock together. But the material world is such a strange place that we cannot categorically put somebody only in Tamaguna or only in Rajaguna, only in Sattvaguna. Rajasattvam tamascheva, tamasattvam rajasata, like that. There is one verse in the Bhagavad Gita which says, sometimes the rajas comes up, sometimes the tamas comes up, sometimes the sattvaguna comes up at different times, even within one system, even within one person also. So here, in this particular instance, we find Diti was getting a very rajoguni, tamoguni type of thinking, of wanting to have a child in the twilight hour. Man and woman are supposed to unite at night, not in the evening time when Lord Shiva would be passing by. So, on the other hand, Kashyapa was doing sattvaguni activities. So, when he was being dragged to come to tamoguni activities, he was feeling disturbed. And the disturbance is natural. One will become upset or angry. For example, if somebody in sattvaguna, they see somebody is biting the nail. Oh, it will be irritating for him. What is this? Go and wash your hand. You know, once His Holiness Bhaktivikasa Swami had come to Pune. So he was giving a Bhagavatam class. And one of the devotees sitting in the front was putting his finger into the mouth. You know, immediately told, hey, get up. It's like that. He showed hand and said, get up. He said, and that fellow got a little allergic. He got up. Go and wash your hand. He said, so he washed his hand and came back. And then he sat a little behind. He said, no, no, come in here in the front. So then he came and sat in the front. And then he told, do you know why I told you that you should get up and go when you put your finger in the mouth? He said, no, Maharaj. Said, Prabhupada told me. He said, Prabhupada told her, you should not put, when Prabhupada was giving a class, he told her, don't put the finger in the mouth, wash and come. He said, so I am also telling you, I learned this good lesson. So, a sattvaguna person cannot tolerate tamaguna activities. Then naturally what comes? Anger comes. But anger arises in passion. And it goes down to ignorance. So that means a person from sattvaguna is pulled down to rajaguna. So he was, that is how he became angry. So, but if one is a Vaishnava, then even if somebody is in tamaguna or rajaguna, a Vaishnava tolerates. Seeing that person as a part and parcel of Krishna, understanding that, you know, these are all lower natures which are clinging to a person only in the material world. Once this jiva becomes purified, you know, then such behavior will be finished. It won't be there. Then, when we say Vaishnava tolerates, that doesn't mean it is not correct. He will certainly correct him in a way that will bring about a change in that person, the other person. That is why Rishabhadev, in one of his instructions, says that those people who are guru or who are, Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, whatever type of guru's role they play, they have to instruct their subordinates without becoming excessively angry, he says. Because if we become extremely angry, then the message is not conveyed properly. People may take the anger and go and say that, you know, he became very angry with me. Okay, he became angry. What you told? That I don't know. You don't know. He angrily told you something to do because the anger only is captured. The other thing is not captured. Lesson is not captured. And if without anger, if you tell only the lesson, please don't do like that. And he will say like this and keep doing same thing again and again. He'll never change. So there has to be a polite and firm instruction given. But that firmness can only be to a degree in which a person can receive good instruction. Otherwise, the instruction only is not received. Is it not true? So we will find that in Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada says the guru and the disciple relationship is comparable to a husband, potent husband, impregnating a fertile wife. Prabhupada gives this example in many places. So if the guru has to awaken Krishna prema in the heart of the disciple, he has to give the potent seed of the Bhakti Lata Bij and plant it in the heart of the disciple. And also help the disciple to water the seed and remove the weeds and gradually grow it to a place, to a point where it will produce the fruit of Krishna Prema, isn't it? And that requires enormous patience. We cannot afford to become angry. You will find the same Kashyapa and Diti combination elsewhere in another canto. Diti was speaking very sweetly to Kashyapa and rendering service very intimately, confidentially, silently, you know, throwing sidelong glances on Kashyapa and behaving like a very good wife. And Kashyapa became very happy with her and asked her, "What do you want?" At that time, she revealed her mind that "I want a son to kill Indra." Again, Kashyapa momentarily became upset. And then he said to himself, "Alas, my wife has tricked me. All her good behavior is ultimately meant for getting a son to kill Indra. Alas, I am such a fool. I have become like a henpecked husband, you know, carried away, swayed away by her sweet words. Now, so he saw her as a living entity. Diti is a living entity addicted to the desire of killing Indra. Now, how I can deal with this living entity? So he said to himself, "I will administer such a procedure in her life that her envy for Indra will be finished. It will be gone." And then he gave her, what procedure he gave her? Pumsavana process he gave her. And then which she adopted. And then eventually she became purified when the Maruts were born. You know, they all went with Indra after that. So this example is very important. That means when a guru is impregnating wisdom in the heart of the disciple, he will encounter varieties of people in Sattvaguna, Rajoguna, Tamoguna. When we see those who are in Sattvaguna and very awakened and enlightened and inspired and sincere and serious and happily situated, we feel very happy. But there will also be people in Rajoguna, Tamoguna also. And one has to tackle all kinds of people with all kinds of mentalities and learn the art of administering Krishna conscious medicine to them without driving them away by one's instructions. And this goes to show how Srila Prabhupada could accommodate people of all kinds when he went to the West and give them instruction and purify them and elevate them and bring them to the standard. Of course, some might have drifted away also, but Prabhupada did his part very well. So the guru impregnating the disciple's heart with the Divya Gnan is a similar procedure where guru's consciousness becomes very important while offering the medicine to the disciple. Because when we become preachers, sometimes when we blow off due to intolerance, then what we blow off enters as a seed into others' hearts. And then that also comes out as retaliation from them, as rebellion from them. As rebellion and retaliation. Rebellion is inside, retaliation is outside. So it comes out in that manner eventually. So that is the reason we will find we may become impatient in our preaching many times. So here in this particular instance, when Kashyapa saw that Diti is making a demand, improper demand, irreligious demand, he tried to tell her, you know, this is the time when Lord Shiva is passing by in the twilight hour. You know, he may plant some ghostly creatures into your womb. And this is opposed to the demigods. This is opposed to religious principles. This is not dharma. It's not proper. Just wait for some more time. When the appropriate moment comes, I'll give you the seed. But she was restless. she was intolerant. Seeing her restlessness and intolerance on one hand, on the other hand, Kashyapa also was a bit weak-hearted. Seeing the prospect of uniting with her, he also became a little weak. And so both these things jointly made him angry. So Prabhupada writes there in that place, he succumbed to her proposal he should not have. Now somebody may say, if he doesn't succumb, then will she not go to some other man? And that is why Prabhupada writes in the purport, a woman should be trained in chastity and a man should be trained in brahmacharya. That is the perfect combination. If a woman is trained in chastity and she wants to unite with the husband at a certain time, even if she is restless, she will never go to another man because she is trained in chastity. And if a man is a brahmachari and then he marries, in such kind of instances when he is given an invitation by his wife in a wrong time, he will be able to restrain his senses and say a loud no to her. That's why Prabhupada writes that in the purport. But somehow Diti made the demand and Kashyapa became angry. He must have become angry with himself and he became angry with her also. Why? He must have become angry with his own weakness and he must have become angry with her impertinent request. So because of this, he became angry. Whatever be the cause, that anger seed entered into his conception. When he gave that semen to Diti, that angry mentality entered into the semen. And that anger produced these two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who became very angry people, very dangerous people for the whole universe. Now some of you may have a question, Prabhuji, they were supposed to be asuras anyway, when they fell from the Vaikuntha. So did they not become angry asuras because of that? Why is Kashyapa put into trouble like this? You see, how the Lord is so perfect in doing everything. Like one boy was arguing that, you know, you say that somebody gets a handsome son because that son has done some punya in the previous life. A boy has done punya because of which he got a handsome body. You are saying like that. But then one student argued that, you know, but you look at the mother and father, they look very handsome and beautiful. That's why the son became beautiful. I said, you fool, this is actually only a superficial outlook. Yes, mother and father are beautiful, son is beautiful, but how did this semen, how did this soul come into the womb of that mother? Because of his particular punya, he was brought into that womb and then he was taken birth. And that arrangement is made by whom? Yeah, by Karmanadeva Netrena, by super soul. He arranges it. Because one soul is wandering with a good punya and he has to get a handsome body. So in whose womb the Lord will put him? He will put him in a family where husband and wife are beautiful. So the child gets a beautiful body. The child didn't get a beautiful body because mother and father are beautiful. Because he was carrying a punya from the past life. Correct, no? So there is a superficial understanding of things. There's a deeper understanding of things. Similarly, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu were supposed to become demons. So they are coming down. And already they are also angry now. Why? Because they had an angry encounter with Chatushkumaras. So some amount of latent anger will be there also, with them also. And that is exactly matching with the anger of Kashyapa Muni, who is uniting with Diti. And then when that matched, what happened? Then they are coming out as Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. So that's what Prabhupada is saying here. In this connection, it is to be remembered that the mind of Kashyapa Muni was not in order when he conceived the two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, the semen he discharged was simultaneously extremely powerful and mixed with the quality of anger, he says. So, and then it is to be concluded that while conceiving a child, one's mind must be very sober and devotional. Prabhupada is saying, one's mind must be sober and devotional. Sober means grave, it's a mode of goodness. And devotional means transcendental, bhakti. So if one is sober and devotional, then the child they beget will be very saintly. The child, the bigot, will be very, very saintly child, filled with all good qualities. Shamo, damat, tapashaucham, shanti, rajo, jnanam, vijnanam, astikyam. So all these good qualities will come in a child when the parents are uniting in a sober and devotional mood. In the Bhagavad Gita, I think 8.3 or 8.4, in one of those verses, Prabhupada explains five types of ahutis and five types of yajna kunda. Prabhupada is explaining there. There he says, when a brahmana has faith in the Jyotishtoma sacrifices and such kind of sacrifices which are performed for elevation to heaven, with that faith is giving ahuti in the yajna kunda. So that goes to the demigods. That is the ahuti, the faith, his faith and the yajna which he performs. And because of that, such a person attains the heavenly planets, isn't it? So that's the result, fruit he gets. Now, there is an ahuti and there is a fruit also. What is the ahuti that he gives? His faith and the Vedic chant. That is ahuti he gives. And there is a fruit. What is the fruit? His attainment of heavenly planets. Now, the second thing he says is, now that fellow, after his punya gets over, he falls from the heaven into the clouds. He says, that's the second ahuti. So for the clouds, the ahuti is that the man falling from the heaven after his punya is over, he falls into the clouds and then he comes through the rains. And then he gets a human body in this earth again. That is the fruit. Then the rain becomes ahuti for the earth. And the result is, when the rain falls on earth, what happens? All the crops grow, plants, trees, so and then they produce fruits. So that is the result of the rain. And then, when the man eats the grains and cereals and fruits and everything, then he gives a semen particle into the womb of a woman. That is ahuti. And the result is the child is born from the womb. Correct, no? So in this way, Prabhupada explains the ahuti and the fruit. Five examples he gives. He explains. So he says there that in the Vedic times, the brahmanas would lit up fire in the arani stick simply by a chant of the Vedic mantra. They would recite the mantra and then the fire would immediately emerge. I have a video clip with me which I got it. That clip shows that the brahmanas are chanting the Vedic mantras at a certain note, very high note. At that time, your glassware, it breaks. Clang, like that it breaks. Simply by utterance of that mantra, it breaks. Which means the subtle mantras which are recited, they can have effect on the gross platform. That is proven by that. In the same manner, by the recitation of the mantra, the fire can be created. It is possible. So they will do that. Similarly, Lord Vishnu, as Varaha, in the Varaha Dev's chapter, when the sages are offering prayers, they are saying that, my dear Lord, you have invested the bhumi with the potency of gravitational pull, gurutvakarshan, because of which you are allowing all the jivas to very peacefully rest on earth. Imagine if there was no gravitational pull, we'll also be floating in the space, along with the earth and other planets. Can you imagine living in this world, floating in space, all the time floating, you can't stand anywhere, isn't it? Because the Lord has put that potency of gravitational pull inside earth, so we are able to rest, we are able to sit peacefully like this. So in this way, there is an ahuti and there is a result of that ahuti. So what is being spoken in this verse is that the ahuti given, it depends on the conception. What is the kind of conception a person has? If a husband and wife chant 50-50 rounds each, and their mind is very devotional after chanting, they have performed a puja, they have requested blessing of the spiritual master, and then when they come to unite, not for enjoying the pleasure of sex life, but with the desire to beget a child and raise the child in Krishna consciousness, then a very devotional-minded child can be born. by such a kind of union. And then Prabhupada says that in the modern times, man and woman, they just unite for sex pleasure, like cats and dogs. So the children who are born are also like monkeys. They are also like shudras. So Kalav Shudra Sambhavaha, he says. In Kali Yuga, everybody is a shudra, he says, because there is no garbhadhan sanskar practice properly before uniting. He says that. That's why he's saying, for this purpose, the garbhadhan sanskar is recommended in the Vedic scriptures. If the mind of the father is not sober, the semen discharged will not be very good, he says. Then the living entity wrapped in matter produced from the father and mother will be demoniac, like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, like that he says. So, just as the mind of the father is to be sober, then the demon discharge will be very good. So, the conceptions that we have, that produces consciousness. Whatever conceptions we have, that produces a certain type of consciousness. For example, if we look at the world around us with an enjoying mentality, we think these objects are meant for my enjoyment, then that produces the enjoying consciousness. Then the subsequent, our speeches, our actions will reflect our conception. We will see that we are always in a mood of enjoying and exploiting, like that. But if your conception is, everything belongs to Krishna, and I am only Krishna's servant, I only should take whatever is due for me, that is the right conception we have, then that type of consciousness keeps developing more and more. I am servant, I am servant, I am servant, I should just serve. Then the activities we do also will be in the mood of a servant, the servant-like activities we will do. So, this is very important. Our admirations lead to aspirations. You will see aspiration means abhilasha. Our admiration is based on our conception. Whatever conceptions we have. For example, if we know the position of Krishna, if we know the position of Vaishnavas, if we know the wisdom in the Shastra, then we develop a deep respect for them. When we develop respect, then the admiration comes. And then when there is admiration, then there is appreciation. Then our subsequent behavior, everything is accordingly, you know, aligned one after another like that. So, that is why the most important thing for the jiva in this world is the conception that he carries. Like Vayuhu Gandha Nivashayat, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Just like the air carries the aromas, isn't it? Fragrance. If there is a flower garden, you know, the air goes to the flower garden and picks up all the fragrance and then blows. And then you get the smell. It's very, then when you smell it, so wonderful it is. On the other hand, sometimes when you're going in a train, some dead animal in the jungle is sending out dirty smell. That also comes in the wind and enters the, or sometimes there is a molasses factory. You know, such a dirty stool-like smell. Comes sometimes, enters the nose, everybody closes the window and they plug their nose, isn't it? So, air is transparent, but then the air carries the aromas, either a fragrant aroma or a very contaminating, very dirty aroma like that. So, this is what Krishna compares the pure jiva and the impure jiva. Jiva is always pure, but the jiva is covered over by consciousness, by conceptions. So, he is carrying contaminated conceptions, or he is carrying pure conception. And then Prabhupada says, mental existence transforms into a tangible form as soon as there is an opportunity, he says. Just like, you know, there are so many waves all around us. Right now, you can't see it. But you put a television box, immediately you can have 120 channels or, you know, so many things you can see in that. In this way, our conceptions lead to the form, which means our subtle body is called as a body of desires. And the subtle body contains such desires which give shape to our gross body. So we can safely say that the gross body we have is a precipitate of the subtle body. Sometimes in your chemical laboratory you must have seen, a liquid appears very transparent. But then you put in a centrifuge and do like this, then at the bottom there is a white deposit. This much is settled. Where did it come from? It came from the solution only. although it appears transparent. Similarly, our subtle body also carries conceptions which lead to the gross body which we have. So the change of gross body is not at all important. Because gross body anyway will change from childhood to boyhood to youth. Now, do we do any endeavor to change this body? One endeavor we do is to eat prasad. And the body keeps changing from childhood to boyhood to youth to old age. So the change of gross body is not very important. Sometimes a boy says, Prabhuji, I'm very worried. My parents are worried that I have to get married. I used to tell them, don't worry, marriage and all will automatically happen. Marriage will happen, babies will come, job will come, everything. In this world, everybody flows in the same direction. But what change will not come is the change in the subtle body. Without our endeavor, it will not come. Ichchami kalena nayasya viplavo. The Gajendra, in his prayer, he says that. He says, my dear Lord, the ignorance in the heart of the conditioned soul, which is like a darkness, it doesn't go away. You cannot drive the heart darkness by shouting at it. You cannot drive it by sweeping it. You have to put on the bulb. When the light is on, the darkness will be gone. So, for that to happen, that is why Oma Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya, we say. That enlightenment has to happen, then the darkness will be gone. And what is the darkness? The darkness is wrong conceptions. Tattva vibrama, that is the darkness. Sva tattva vibrama, para tattva vibrama, sadhana sadhya vibrama. Like that, there are different types of vibramas. Sva tattva vibrama means, considering myself to be the material body is the first vibrama. And then, para tattva means considering God to be impersonal, or considering God doesn't exist, this kind of wrong conceptions. So one has to gradually come to the right conception of how God is a person, all-loving person. Similarly, sadhana sadhya vibrama. So what should be the sadhana, what should be sadhya? So these vibramas, these conceptions which we have, they translate into our behavior. They translate into our actions subsequently. So this is actually the core in our... So that is why, based on our conceptions, for example, if I have a conception that I am the enjoyer, and when I don't get enjoyment, then I get frustrated. Just like I heard a beautiful example. One fellow was very proud and he wanted to pull the crowd. He wanted to make a show to people. Of course, nobody would look at him. So he wanted to do something which will attract people. So he tied a rope behind a lorry and then he told all the people, come here, you will see how strong I am. I'm going to pull the lorry and the lorry will come. I have so much stamina, so much strength. So as soon as he tied the rope to his body and to the lorry and he pulled it, then all the people came to see all around. And as this fellow was pulling, the lorry was also moving behind. How do you think it happened? That happened because the driver in the lorry wanted to take a reverse. So he was taking reverse because he thought that the lorry was parked on the side. He wanted to take reverse and come to the main road. So he was taking reverse. So this fellow was pulling like that, and that fellow was also coming behind. Then after some time, the lorry stopped. Now this man tried to pull. Of course, the lorry didn't move. But the lorry started moving in opposite direction. So that is the time this fellow thought, oh, now I am not able to pull anymore. It's moving in opposite direction. I am not in control, he realized. Then as the lorry went little ahead, he was shouting, oh, my body is getting hit on the ground. Oh, it is so painful. He said, stop, stop, you are shouting. At that time, he turned around and saw, because the driver was having his hand outside. Then he understood that the driver is in control. See, first thing what he thought, I am in control. I am pulling the lorry. Then what he understood, I am not in control. Why? Because he could not pull it anymore. The lorry had stopped. Now the third thing understood is driver is in control. Correct, no? Of course, the third thing he thought was lorry is in control, he thought. And then he understood who is in control. Driver is in control. Because lorry is not independent. Lorry is being driven by a driver. Driver is in control. And then he understood. And driver is actually teaching me a good lesson to come to my senses. So he taught a good lesson for me. Like that he learned. So what is this example? In this world, all jivas think, I am in control. And they also sometimes see that when they think, I am in control, when they act, things also move according to the desire. That is where they commit a mistake of thinking themselves to be karta ahamiti manyate. That kind of thought comes. When everything acts and moves around them, aligned around them, in a way they want it to happen. They think, I am in control. Suddenly they find things are not in their control. Like one time Gauranga Prabhu had come to Pune. So we both were sitting in sumo in the front seat. I think only one person is supposed to sit in the sumo front seat. But we both were sitting also. So there was a driver who was driving it. Because the sumo was full, we were going for a program. So one of these fellows, I mean the driver who was driving, he was driving very rashly, very fast. So Gauranga Prabhu told him, hey, sambhal ke chalo. And he was telling, you know, drive it properly. You know. So that fellow used to go very fast. You know, where you can reach in 40 minutes, you know, he will reach in 10 minutes only. Very fast driver. So, and Gauranga Prabhu got tired. He then told me, hey, you tell him, you know, he need not go so fast. So that fellow, after the program, he told us, please come back after the program quickly. I'm very tired. We have to go and take rest in the temple. But then somehow or other, that day, there were a lot of question answers and all, and the program ended by 10:30, 11 it became. So as soon as we boarded the sumo, the fellow started very fast. Like that, very fast. So when he went to the road and he, you know, turned his steering to the right side, and the gadi was going straight only. He is turning his right, but the gadi is going straight. What is the meaning of that? The steering had lost its connection to the wheel. Some problem has happened. So that fellow got frightened because it's going in another direction which he doesn't want. He wanted to go to the right. It's not going. Fortunately, brake was working. So I put the brake. Then immediately the gadi came to a halt and we asked him. So then he himself got outside and he went under the gadi and then checked everything and said, then we asked him, kya ho gaya? Chakkar aa raha hai Prabhuji. He said, theek hai, what happened? He said, suddenly somehow my steering got disconnected from the wheel. That's why it's not moving. So then we told him that, you see, that's why you have to be careful in driving. So in our life also, we think, you know, if I move like this, gadi goes right. If I move like this, gadi goes left. And if I keep it like this, it goes straight. Then we tend to think, who is in control? I am in control. Sometimes you find you turn like this, and gadi goes straight. Or you turn like this, gadi goes this side. It's an opposite side. Then we come to our senses. Correct, no? I am not in control. And this, every one of us will get this experience in our life. And Krishna will mercifully reveal this. Of course, Krishna will not do it for us unless we are qualified for receiving it. Because some people, as soon as they see, I am not in control, they will leave everything and run away. You know? Oh, I am not in control. Then what is the use? I will go where I can be in control. Correct, no? I will take up something where I can be in control. So, that is why to realize I am not in control is a very great realization. And to realize Maya is in control is a greater realization, because it says, Prakriti Kremanani. Maya is in control. A greater realization than that is Maya Adhyakshana Prakriti. Krishna is in control. In this way, Naiva Kinchit Karomi Iti Yukto Manyeta Tattva Vit Pashyan Shinman Sprishan Jigran Ashnan Gachan Shapan Swasan Pralapan Visrijan Unmishan Nimishan Napi Indriyani Indriyarteshu Vartate Iti Matva. So like that, Dharayan, he says. He says that all these activities happening in my body, like he says, Pashyan, Shrinvan, Grinan, Sprishan, Jigran, Ashnan, Gachan, Shapan, Swasan, Pralapan, all those things, all the activities in this body. Now, even the moving of the eyelids, even the movement of the hands, even the walking of the legs, all these activities are all conducted by the presiding deities. You are not independent. One should. So I am not in control. Maya Devi is in control. And Krishna is in control. A greater realization than Krishna is in control is Krishna is in loving control. Because Krishna controls me for my purification, for my benefit. That is even a greater realization. So those who do not realize this, you know, they will become frustrated in life. When they become frustrated, they will naturally become angry. And they'll be carried away by tamaguna, like that. So, in our life, if our kama, lust is not satisfied, we become frustrated and then we become angry, krodha. And when our lust is satisfied, then we get lobha. We get a greater desire. Correct, no? We want more and more. There is no end to that. And that's the nature of this world. So, the kama only takes on the avatars of krodha and lobha. So, one has to work on the kama only. One has to, and that's what happened with Kashyapa Diti. He had some weakness of kama also. And she had the weakness of lobha. So, kama and lobha came together. And then the children which are born, they are afflicted with kama, krodha, lobha. Powerful. Three gateways to hell, as Krishna says. Trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanah kama krodha tata lobas tasmat etat trayam tyajet, he says. So, Krishna conscious lifestyle means the sattva-guna lifestyle is taught to us. Rising early in the morning, taking a fresh bath, coming in front of the deities and offering obeisances to the Lord, offering obeisances to Guru, offering obeisances to Vaishnavas, chanting of the holy names, hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, accepting only prasadam. And in this way, these activities are all activities in goodness and beyond. So, by performing these activities, gradually we can rise above the lower gunas of Rajaguna, Tamaguna. As Vidura tells Dhritarashtra, Bhakti Bhavanaya Advastaha Rajas Sattva Tamo Malaha, he says. So, Rajas Sattva Tama, these three are called Mala, he says. Bhakti Bhavanaya Advastaha. By Bhakti Bhavana, we should subdue the three gunas and we have to become gunatit. So, when we become gunatit, then we can very happily associate with Krishna in that platform, because Krishna is nivritta guna vrittaye. She says, no? Namo akinchana vittaya nivritta guna vrittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalya patiye namaha. So, in that purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord is nirguna and the devotee is nirguna. Both are beyond the sattva rajas tamas three gunas. Mamchiyo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate, he says. They are in Brahma Buddha platform. So Brahma Buddha platform itself is a platform which produces prasannata. It produces happiness constantly. It is like a moment after moment festival. When one comes to the Brahma Bhuta platform. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Na Shochati, Na Kankshati. There is no lamentation, there is no hankering also. And to come to that platform, Krishna says we have to do Raga Dvesha Vimukta Istu, he's saying. We have to give up our attachment to wrong things and aversion for the right things, he's telling. For example, we have attachment to overeating, we have attachment to, possessing things which may be detrimental to our Krishna consciousness. Similarly, we have aversion for the right things. Rising early in the morning, we may have some aversion for it, especially in cold winter. Correct, no? Like sometimes people don't rise in the morning. You go and ask, Prabhu, you are still sleeping? What happened? I feel I have a headache. You have a headache or you only feel? We don't know. I feel a little bit. Okay, I'll get up now. Let me get up after an hour. So sometimes we have aversion for the right things. Correct, no? So, raga dvesha vimukta istu vishayan indriyaischaran. Vishaya, we have to restrain the indriyas from the vishaya vasanas, he's saying. Atma vashyair videyatma prasadamadi gachati. A person who restrains the senses from flowing outward, such a person alone can get prasadam, he's saying. Of course, not only this prasad, we get transcendental mercy also. One verse Prabhupada used to quote often is the next verse. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasyopajayate prasanna cheta shohiyashu buddhi parivatishtate nasti buddhira yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayata shanti rashantasya kutaha sukham. So, he says, prasade sarva dukkhanam hanihi, all over, pangs will be finished when we get the mercy of the Lord. Prasanna cheta shohi ashu buddhi pariyavatishtate. So we will get a prasanna chitta, he's saying. So the happiness cannot be found outside. The happiness has to be found inside by practicing a life in mode of goodness and beyond. We have to situate ourselves in mode of goodness, and we should focus on transcendence when we do that. So actually, all spiritual practices, they say that one has to control the senses. Narada boy says, Dante akridanake alpabhashini anuvartini. In that he says, I had my senses controlled and I was not unnecessarily talkative. And although I was a child, I had no attraction for childish sports. And I was completely obedient, he says, to the superiors, he says. So in the first one, he says, Dante, the control of the senses. Many people in this world try to control senses externally without controlling the mind, which means they control the senses, but in the mind they have wrong contemplation. And because of this, the senses again and again get defeated in this world, repeatedly. Karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasasmaran. Krishna calls such a person as a vimudatma, he calls. So the mind should be controlled. So how can the mind be controlled? See, this is the first thing. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayo. So to place mind in the feet of Krishna is also not very easy. Although it is said, one should place mind in Krishna's lotus feet. For placing our mind in Krishna's lotus feet, we need the right contemplation. Right contemplation should be accepted and wrong contemplation should be given up. For example, when we hear the philosophy and then we study the books, we get some knowledge, we get some wisdom. But when we associate with one another, especially with right contemplation, for example, we contemplate gratefully on what we have received from the Guru Parampara. And when a group of devotees sit together and they gratefully remember what gifts and mercy I received in my life. So that type of contemplation, somebody may say, what is this kind of prajalpa simply talking without Shastra? No. If you are regularly studying Shastra, then our contemplation will be in line with Shastra also. But if you are not reading Shastra regularly, then our contemplation can be speculative. So in the same manner, we can also see how the mercy worked in Prabhupada's life, how it worked in our Guru's life, how it is working in the lives of great souls, and how Vaishnavas, over a period of time practicing Krishna consciousness, they have blossomed. They have become sincere, serious, happy, jubilant, with full of realizations. So we should see the mercy working in others' lives, in mercy working in Acharya's lives, and mercy working in our lives. We can see that. And the right contemplation is to see good qualities of other Vaishnavas. We can also see the dedication, contribution of the other Vaishnavas. So when we see like this, the contemplation on Krishna's Naam, Guna, Rupa, Leela, Ityadi, that is sometimes a little difficult in our conditioned stage. But the contemplation on activities of Acharyas is more easy, Vaishnava Acharyas, and in the lives of the other devotees. So we should never study the Shastras only in the clouds, but we should always see their application in our personal life, in others' lives, and how Acharyas have applied it. So the personal application and preaching application, by observing these things, our contemplation span will increase by this. And the wrong contemplation weakens the mind. Right contemplation strengthens the mind. So for example, many great Acharyas say, when our body, our mind and our words are exactly in one line, then we are doing right contemplation. But our mouth is speaking something, but our heart is desiring something else. Then there is a kind of gap between the two, which causes stress. Stress is mainly because of that only. But if our body, mind, words are in one line, there is no stress. Prasanna cheta shohi ashu buddhi pariyavatishtate, he says. So then by right contemplation, the mind becomes strengthened. By wrong contemplation, mind becomes weakened. For example, wrong contemplation means, always blaming the situation, blaming others, blaming climate, blaming. Somebody says, today climate achanaya, otherwise I would have studied nicely today. Somebody may say. So blaming others. So in the same manner, picking faults in others without ability to help them. without having authority to help them. Or always focusing on what others have, what I don't have. These kind of things and all are wrong contemplation, which diverts our attention away from Krishna consciousness. So, when the contemplation is pure, then the consciousness, conceptions, and the conceptions we develop by studying the Shastra, they will become deeply seated in our heart. So, right contemplation, right conception, right consciousness. This is actually the key for keeping our status quo in Sattaguna and beyond. This is actually the key. So that is the reason why Rupa Goswami Pada says, you know, Atyahara, Prayasascha, Prajalpa, Niyamagra, all those things he says, Shadbir Bhaktir Vinashyati. Atyahara not only means overeating. Atyahara means collecting too many thoughts. Unnecessary thoughts. Similarly, Atyahara also means collecting too many goods, you know, possessions also. Because too many goods, then lot of maintenance time goes also in that. Too many facilities means. Similarly, there is karma prayas, jnana prayas. So that is why Mahaprabhu appreciated the verse, jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti santmukaritam bhavadiyavartam. So he appreciated that verse because jnana prayas is like twisting the mind and it is like beating an empty husk which has no grains. That's speculation. Whereas if we develop firm faith in the knowledge coming in Guru Parampara in Avarohan Panth, then our contemplation will become fixed on Krishna very easily. But if we hear without faith, then the fixity doesn't come. Then whatever causes us doubts, we have to ask them, clear up the pathway and develop the firm faith. One has to come to the platform of firm faith. So in this way, the development of right type of consciousness, Vaishnava consciousness we can say, right type of Vaishnava consciousness. Vaishnava consciousness is very extraordinary because you will find, for example, when Prithu Maharaj was being praised by the bards, Sutta Magadha Vandinaha, when they were all glorifying him, you will find that Prithu Maharaj is refusing to accept glorification. Correct, no? He said, no, you know, don't glorify me because I have not done anything. And also, don't glorify me in my presence, you know, he says. While refusing them to glorify him, he did that very politely and smilingly also. And seeing that, the bards were more inspired to glorify him. And they also got a go-ahead green signal from the sages. Sages had told them, you can glorify. So based on that, they continued glorification. So this is one example of Vaishnava consciousness. Because if Prithu Maharaj looked at the bards and said, you nonsense, stop it. What is this glorification going on? I have not done anything else. Get lost from here. If you said like that, that is not Vaishnava consciousness. Correct, no? So you will find in the pages of Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita various aspects of proper behavior. We see. So in the Vishnu Sahasranama Stotram, there is a statement which says, na krodo na cha matsaryo na lobho na shubha matihi bhavanti krita punyanam bhaktanam purushottame. It says, yeah, Vaishnava means he doesn't become frustrated because he knows Krishna may have alternative plan. Na krodo, na cha matsaryo. He does not hold any envy towards any living entities. Na krodo, na cha matsaryo. Lobho means he is not greedy by looking at others. He is having that, I also want that. I have a old mobile, he has a recent mobile. So I also want that. Or I have a two-wheeler, he has a four-wheeler. So I also want a four-wheeler. So he doesn't feel lobha. Na krodho, na cha matsaryo, na lobho, na ashubha matihi. He does not harbor any malice towards other living entities. That's what Dhruva Maharaj, the mother, told him. Don't harbor malice towards your stepmother. Because Dhruva Maharaj had malice. When he came crying to his mother with tears welling up in his eyes and his lips quivering, fortunately he came to his mother. If he didn't come to his mother, he would have caught hold of the hand of Surichi and given a slap to her. That would have become a great physical offense on the part of Dhruva, isn't it? Fortunately he came to mother. Mother told him, don't have any malice. If she did wrong to you, Lord Vishnu will punish her. Like that she said. So, na krodho, na cha matsaryo, na lobho, na ashubha matihi. Instead, what a devotee does? Bhavanti krita punyanam. A devotee becomes extremely busily preoccupied with doing punya activities. What is the punya activities? Shrinvatam swakata krishna. That is punya activity. In hearing, chanting, or performing Navavidha Bhakti, this is punya activities. Bhavanti krita punyanam. Because yesham tu antakatam papam jananam punya karmana. Tedvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridabhra. If you want to become dridabhaktas, you have to do punya karma. And this is not mundane punya. The real punya karma is Srinivadam Sakata Krishna punya shravana kirtanat. So this should be the focus of a devotee. Bhavanti krita punyana bhaktanam purushottame. If you want to call ourselves purushottam bhaktas, our focus should be Vishnu. Our focus should not be problem solving. And the other day, previous class when I was speaking, I was saying, Dhruva Maharaj, although he had material desire greater than Dhritarashtra, his focus was Vishnu's lotus feet. Somehow I will go to jungle, I will see Vishnu, I will see Vishnu, I will see Vishnu. That was his focus. Whereas Dhritarashtra, the very name as it suggests, Dhrita Rashtra means kingdom. Dhrita means he was attached. So he was very attached to his kingdom. So he didn't worship Vishnu. His focus was only the kingdom. But he lost everything. And he got destroyed completely, along with his whole race. You can see that. So in this way, in case one becomes angry, one becomes envious, one has malice in the heart, like Dhruva Maharaj had, we should simply follow in the footsteps of Dhruva. Because Dhruva had his mother who guided him to Vishnu. He had his guru Narada Muni who guided him to Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu personally gave him darshan and purified his heart of all contaminations. And he became a pure devotee. In this way, here we find Kashyapa became angry. And because of that, the conception became two deadly children, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who will eventually manifest their anger and dangerous behavior all over the universe. Anyway, that type of arrangement Lord makes sometimes to bring demigods to their senses also. Because sometimes the demigods become complacent or they become intoxicated in power and opulence. So the Lord brings sometimes demons to shake up the demigods and wake them up to their spiritual duties. Then the demigods also sometimes offer wonderful prayers, saying that, my dear Lord, it's better to be your pure devotee and go back to Godhead rather than stay in the world and, you know, face all these dangerous demons and everything. So in this way, every day, Srimad Bhagavatam, we will learn something new from this episode arising from only one scene only. Lakshmi and Vishnu and Chatushkumaras and Jai Vijay. This scene is going on for many weeks. But Srila Prabhupada has given valuable purports for us to contemplate on, from which we learn newer and newer lessons every day. So Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much.